morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
Let's stand together this morning. We're going to open with Oh Happy Day.
To be with you today in the house of the Lord. Amen. And our church got a little bit of a facelift this weekend. And I want to say thank you to everybody who came out and helped. We were planning on working on Friday and Saturday, and we got the whole job done on Friday and didn't need to come back Saturday. So, and I want to say a special thank you to Eric Hackman for planning it and getting it all put together and leading us. So thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. So we are all now master builders, and next spring we will be ready to take on the west side of the building. So again, I want to say thank you to those who helped provide the food, everything. It went so smoothly. How many times do you do a building project and everything just kind of happens? So we know that God was with us. Well, there are some places in this country where things aren't going so smoothly, and down in Louisiana, there's a lot of flooding, and I was in contact this week with a pastor of a church at First Baptist Church in Algiers, Louisiana, which is right next to Baton Rouge, and at the end of the service today, we're going to take up a special collection to help them out. They have 9 families in their church that have completely lost their homes. Now, they have insurance to help cover long term, okay? But just for the immediate needs, some of them were sleeping on floors at other people's houses, some on the floor at the church, and just to help them get for the next couple weeks through. So we're going to take up a collection and at the end of the service, and we're going to send it right down to the First Baptist Church of Algiers, Louisiana. So if you want to participate in that, at the very end of the service, we'll take up a special collection for that. Today, following the morning service, we're giving away the backpacks. And so if you're here for those, I tell you what, I want to say thank you to everybody. We had a lot of contributions for the backpacks, and they are stuffed full. And so thank you to everybody who contributed to that. So the backpacks will be handed out at the Welcome Center, and so you can go there and just tell them your name and that you're there for a backpack, and they'll be handed out to you, and it's a great thing. But it's a sad thing because that lets us know, kids, that you are going back to school. Some of you are already back to school and before Labor Day. But it's happening right around the corner, and we're really glad that as a church we can be a help to you in getting those backpacks out. We have a business meeting also following the morning service. We have just a few items that we need to go through. And so we would ask all of our members to just hang around for about 10, 15 minutes after so we can go through those items. We have the Allen family coming, and they're going to do a concert for us on September 11th in the evening. They're also going to join us in the morning. They're going to sing a couple songs. And so I want to encourage you, be inviting people out for that. It is a great opportunity for that because the Allen family do such a good job. Okay, they put on such a great concert, but also they share the gospel and they share the love of Jesus. So we want to make sure that you're here for that and also that you can invite others. The youth group has no youth group on the 4th and the 11th. So remember that because of the bookends of Labor Day. Also, though, there is a back-to-school bash that the youth group will be having on September 10th. Okay? And the time for that is... Okay, so the youth will be, it's 6th through 12th grade, and those going into 6th grade are invited to join the youth group, okay? So those going into 6th grade are joining in 4:30 to 10:30, and there is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, so sign up for that. Also, we're also getting ready for, if you believe it or not, October events, okay? Because things just keep moving along. We have 2 big things coming up in October. First, we have it's going to be like a missions conference kind of thing that we're doing on October 9th. It's going to be kind of an open house where we have a meal that day, a potluck. I believe it's an Italian-themed potluck. Everybody's can get fat and sassy on the 9th, so be prepared to help bring some food in for that. But then also, it's going to be an opportunity to talk to various missionaries, some local, some are foreign, and just to help our church be more aware of what's going on with missions and to be a part of what's happening in world missions. So that's October 9th. And then also we have the youth have an event. It's the Haunted Trail. Now, every year this has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And so all those who would like to help with the Haunted Trail, all the adults that are interested in making it a great night for the teens, September 11th, right after the morning service, there will be a meeting in the classroom next to Lynn's office. So for all adults interested in helping with that, to be ready for that Haunted Trail. For the rest of the announcements, you can go ahead and read those in your bulletin. We do have 2 Sunday school classes that are starting up on September 18th. One is going through the book of Isaiah. They're going to meet right across from the nursery in that classroom. And then there's one called The Archers that's going to be meeting and talking about, it's basically built for those who have children in the home. And so those 2 classes start September 18th. Then also on September 18th, we are starting small groups. And I got a little video here to help motivate you to be part of a small group. It must have had an ad that jumped in front of it. All right.
When you have nothing to do on a Sunday night, you get bored. When you get bored, you start playing video games online. When you start playing video games online, kids that are one-third your age that should be sleeping because it is a school night start to win. When kids start to win, you get angry. When you get angry, you inadvertently wake up your wife who checks on you and tells you it is time for bed, in which your response is, "I'm not a child." Ironic, since in fact you are playing children online. This leads to a fight. When you fight late at night, you sleep through your alarm. When you sleep through your alarm, you show up late to work. And when you show up late to work, Bob gets the promotion ahead of you. Don't let Bob get the promotion ahead of you. Get rid of boring Sunday nights and join a small group. Not all small groups meet on Sunday night. Other possible days are Monday, Tuesday, not Wednesday, because you should be at church Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Contact your local small groups to discuss dates, times, places, and directions. Small groups are not responsible in the event that you get lost or carjacked on the way to small groups. In the event that you do get carjacked, call 911 or scream like a girl. It is likely that by attending small groups, you will learn things about your fellow small groupers that could result in crying or prayer. It is also possible that your relationship with God and knowledge of the Bible could deepen. Attend small groups at your own risk. If you do attend small groups and Bob still gets the promotion ahead of you, it is possible you should think about changing your career. Not to worry. Small groups can pray for that too.
All right. So, we have 9 different small groups that'll be meeting. There's one that's on Thursday, one that's on Friday for those whose Sunday night doesn't work. And then we have several that take place on Sunday. We have one that takes place right after the morning service on Sunday. We have some that take place in the evening. We have some that take place here at the church, so that if that's easier for you or you're bringing your youth, we want everybody to be part of a small group, because it will help deepen your relationships with other people in the church, and it will help get you just more understanding of what God wants for you in your life. So sign-ups, what's that? It'll help with that promotion, right? So there's a sign-up sheet, or there are 9 sign-up sheets at the Welcome Center. Find one that you can be part of, and we would love to see everybody in a small group this year. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you so much that this morning we can have some fun, because God, you're a God that you created laughter. You created enjoyment. And I thank you, Lord, that as we meet here this morning, that we can sing that about the happy day that is, because our Jesus washed all our sin away. And so we just thank you, Lord. We praise you. And I thank you, Lord, that this morning, that even with all the rain we had, we didn't have the flooding and the problems that they had down south. We do pray for all those down south that are going through those difficulties. Lord, we pray for those in Italy who have had earthquakes. And we pray, Lord, that people would turn towards you. You often use the hardest events in life to help people see who you are and to see their need. And so I just pray, Lord, that you would be made great in those areas. And also, Lord, with us today, as we study your word, as we sing some songs that talk about what an incredible God you are, we just pray that our eyes would be open to hear what you want us to hear, and that we would see the things that you want us to see, all the blessings you lay out before us, and all the curses that are laying in front of us if we do not walk with you. And so, Lord, just be pleased by all we say and do. We thank you for the backpacks that have been put together. We pray that each person that receives one, that, Lord, they would just be blessed in a very special and real way. And, Lord, just thank you for allowing us to be part of others' lives. So now, Lord, to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. Thank you.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats, remain standing as we sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing with the holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I will worship your holy name.
We have the ushers come forward.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all you do for us, and we thank you for being the Almighty. Father, we thank you for the provisions that you've given for us, and Father, we just ask that you'll just use this offering to further your ministry, Lord, to build your kingdom here, that we can use it to go out and share the gospel with others around us, Lord. Father, we just ask that you'll just be with Pastor this morning as he brings forth the message. Lord, may our hearts be open and that we'll be receptive to the word, Lord, and that we'll respond as we hear your word. And Father, we just thank you for this time, and we commit it unto you. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
So much of me, you take delight in me, you pay the price for me, then you adopted me. I'm not
Amen. Thank you, choir. It's one of my favorite pieces that they do. I love that arrangement. Well, at this time, we will dismiss the children to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, let's take our Bibles and turn to Judges chapter 17. Judges 17. Did you hear about the Lions football fan? He was a huge, there aren't very many of them, I know. But he was such a huge fan, and he was on his deathbed. And so he requested 6 Lions players to be his pallbearers at his funeral. And he was asked, well, why do you want 6 Lions players to be the pallbearers at your funeral? And he said, well, I wanted to let the Lions let me down one last time. All right, well, this morning we're going to look at 2 people and 1 tribe here in the book of Judges. First of all, the first person we're going to look at, his name is Micah. He is a conniving thief who brings a snare to Israel. So that is the first blank in your bulletin there. Micah is a conniving thief who brings a snare to Israel. Secondly, we're going to look at a Levite. And this Levite was a priest for hire. And then thirdly, we're going to look at a tribe called Dan. A tribe that doesn't take what God gives them and then decides to take their own God. Judges chapter 17 and verse 1. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver, all right, just to give you an idea of what that would be worth in modern day economy, that would be $20,845. So he says, the 1,100 shekels of silver, or the $20,845 that were taken from you, about which you have cursed, and spake also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, now wait, before we read what his mother said, moms, what are you going to say to your son if he steals $20,845? What are you going to say to him? You're going to whoop him, right? You're going to take them out back, you're going to take a switch, and you're going to whoop them. You're not going to say what she says. You're going to say, why did you steal from me, right? That's what you're going to do. But not Micah's mom. She says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Wow. Okay, the next 4 chapters in Judges, I was talking to another pastor about this week. I said, how do you deal with these people in Judges? He goes, I don't know. He's been pastoring for, 50 plus years. And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, how do you reconcile? Why does God give us this? All right, and I think the only reason that we have these accounts given to us in Scripture are so that we can learn from them and not repeat them, okay? We are not supposed to be like these people at the end of Judges. So, first point in your bulletin. What we see here is permissive parenting. Her son steals $20,845. And when she's cursing, saying, someone stole my money. And she's cursing. And so a little bit later, he comes to her and says, hey, mom, I stole your money. Bless you, my son. Not just bless you, but blessed are you of the Lord, my son. This is permissive parenting at its worst. You know what a permissive parent produces? A prodigal child that may not return. A permissive parent will produce a pungent person. Permissive parent will probably produce a prisoner. So now look at verse 3. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, or the $20,845, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it to you. So what did she do? She says, I'm going to give it back to you. But first, I'm going to use it to make an idol. The second thing we see here is a poor perception of providence. Some people think that God is whoever you want him to be. You can make God in any image, in any way. You can make God whatever you want him to be. And let me tell you something. That is a poor perception of the provident one, God. We don't make God. He makes us. We don't define God. He defines himself. We don't shape God. And that's exactly what she tries to do here. Now look at verse 4. Yet he restored the money to his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver. Okay, 200 shekels of silver. I didn't do the math on this, but times $18.45 times 20. Okay, it's $4,000. I don't know, somewhere in there. And gave them to a founder. Okay, that's someone who works with metals, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Made an idol and gave it to her son. And the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod. An ephod is a priestly garment. And a teraphim, okay? It's what something that they would use in the worship of an idol, of an image. And consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So now, not only are they making their own images, their own gods, now he's forming his own priesthood. God had already told the people, I have a priesthood for you. That priesthood is the Levite. And they are the priests. And there was a specific way that God wanted them to operate as a people. Okay, what Micah and his mother are doing here, it's completely off the reservation. They are completely wrong in what they're doing. But he makes one of his sons his priest. And verse 6 kind of gives us the thought, this is not what we should be doing, because it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's, boy, don't we feel like that in America sometimes? Everybody just does whatever's right in their own eyes. Verse 7, and there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. Okay? He lives in Bethlehem, Judah. That's his hometown. Now, Levites lived, they didn't live in a land called Levi. They were the one tribe. Like, if you're from Michigan, you're a Michigander, right? All right, well, the states in Israel, or the tribes in Israel, there was one tribe that did not have their own possession, their own territory. They were the Levites. They were the priests. And they lived in different states or different territories in Israel. So this Levite lives in Judah. Now, the term or the place Bethlehem, Judah, when you hear that, it should go, I've heard of that place before. That's where Jesus is from. Okay? Now, it'll be a couple thousand years after this, or 1,500 years after this, okay? It's going to be a while after this that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, Judah. But that's where this Levite is from. And this Levite is traveling through where Micah lives, in Ephraim, and he needs a place to live. So Micah says to him in verse 10, dwell with me, be unto me a father and a priest. I will give you 10 shekels of silver by the year. So he's only promising him about $200 a year pay, okay, by our standards today. But all of his expenses will be paid. All right, I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year, a suit of clothing, and all of your victuals, everything you need to live, all your food, a house, a roof over your head. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. So it doesn't give us a story of this, but he had to go to his son and say, hey, you're no longer my priest. I found somebody better. And so now he's got a Levite, okay, the tribe that God has chosen to be priests. And look at verse 12. The Levite, the young man, became his priest. In verse 13, then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. He's worshiping idols. He's worshiping things made out of silver. He's worshiping images. He's not worshiping the one true God. He's hired in his own priest. But he has a Levite. And so he looks at that and he says, wow, things are really looking my way. And so he says, God is with me. Now I know the Lord will do me good. We live just like this man Micah. We'll be doing something, and maybe something favorable will turn our way. Maybe we'll have a good happening in our life. And we'll be like, oh, I must be blessed by God. As if good things only happen to good people. Folks, it's not the case. Sometimes good things happen to people who aren't doing right. And that's exactly what happens to Micah here. He gets a priest, but God's not with him. So the third point that we need to see from this is there is a power of perversion. When we view God wrongly, we will start to interpret the things that happen into our life as, well, sometimes as this is God's blessing when it's not God's blessing, or this is God's cursing when it's not God's cursing. Sometimes life happens. And when we interpret things, when we're doing wrong, as God blessing us, we are misinterpreting the situation. The power of perversion. You know what? His perverse view of God has now caused him to have a perverse view of how God works. So now chapter 18, verse 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of Dan sought an inheritance to dwell in. Their inheritance had not yet fallen to them because, well, let's be honest, I've been to the place where Dan originally got their inheritance. Even today, it's a swamp land, okay? There are bulrushes growing up everywhere. The land is real swampy, really wet. And that was the place that God gave them, really close to Bethlehem, Judah. And so the people of Dan, they would know all the people that live in Bethlehem, Judah. Keep that tucked away. It's part of the story. And so the men of Dan, they look around, they go, hey, this is, the people that live here are hard people. I mean, they live here because they like to live in a swamp. And they are not content with the land that God gave them. So they want to look for a new property to live in. And so look down in verse 2. They say to five men, go search the land. Who, when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. So five men go out. They're looking for a new place for the tribe of Dan to live. And they come by Micah's house. And when they were by the house of Micah, verse 3, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. How do they know his voice? Because he was a Levite. He had been working in Bethlehem, Judah, before he moved to Micah's house. And so, basically what the tribe of Dan is doing is they're traveling north. They're heading up, going through the other tribes' lands, looking for a possession of their own, for their own place to settle. Okay, now we have, it's hard for us to understand this today. Imagine way back when they were settling the Old West, and you would go and stake a claim somewhere and claim that property for yourself. That's kind of what Dan is trying to do here. They're trying to find a land. But the problem is there are people that live everywhere. So they're looking for a group of people that won't fight back too hard. So they can take their land, but they also want it to be a good land. Well, they pass by Micah's house, and they hear the Levite's voice, and they're like, what are you doing here? And so verse 4, he says, Micah has hired me. I am his priest. Okay, we see a fourth thing here in this passage. We have a prophet for profit. All right, if you ever are going to listen to a TV or radio preacher and they say, send me money and you will be blessed, number one, don't send them money. They're a con artist and a scammer, okay? Second of all, quit listening to them because they're just a prophet for profit. And a profit for profit isn't worth your time. This is many years ago. These two elderly ladies, the mom, who was 100 years old, took care of her daughter, who was 86 years old. She had her when she was 14 years old. And she took care of her daughter. And I would go over and see them every once in a while. They were kind of homebound. And one day I walked into the house, and they had this, they had just gotten this handkerchief and in the mail, and it was all sealed up, and they would not open it. I'm like, why won't you open it? It was like, you know, displayed prominently. They said, we have been paying out to this evangelist for years, and he finally sent us a prayer hanky. And he said he prayed over it and blessed it. We don't even want to open it because we don't want the blessings to be lost from it. Okay, number one, that's an idol. Okay, that's an idol. Number two, those poor ladies. I tried to convince them that they didn't need to send money, that God could bless them without them sending money to him because he's a scam artist. Okay, it's just so sad. All right, a prophet for profit is motivated by the wrong things. And we'll see that with this Levite in just a few moments. Verse 5. So they say to this Levite, ask counsel, we pray, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go will be prosperous. Now, when you have a prophet for profit, what do you think he's going to say? You think he's going to tell you what you don't want to hear? He's going to say, no, stay in the land that God gave you. God gave it to you for a reason. And if you take it, God will take care of you. No, he's not going to say that. Go your way. You're going to be prosperous. Oh, I just want to backhand him, don't you? Profit for profit. So he says, go in peace. Before the Lord is your way where you go. Then the five men departed, verse 7, and came to Laish, and saw the people that were there, how they dwelt careless, after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians, and had no business with any man. Basically, they found an entire group of people that were basically hermits, kept to themselves, didn't even create community with each other. And I've been to this place where they found, Dan is what it's called today, it used to be called Laish, and I think I have some pictures up there. Let's take a little tour of this place that they saw. All right? All right, so there's a picture of Dan, all right, the main spring. Here's the incredible thing about this land that they found. The spring, the river that is there, it feeds many other springs and rivers. It is the head of the source of water for most of the land of Israel. Comes from right there. Okay, go ahead, go to the next slide. So there's a picture of the river that's coming right out of a spring. Okay, it just starts right up out of the ground, basically. Okay, it's pretty incredible. Go ahead and go to the next one. All right, this is the old city, and in just a minute we're going to see they put an idol there and built a place of worship there, and it was Micah's idol that they built there. Okay, and there's another picture of it. You can see in the city that they built. All right, it's actually really beautiful. In Israel, it's one of the more beautiful places that we went because it wasn't barren and desert. It was lush and green and tropical. So they see this land, and they're like, wow, this is really cool. Nobody is protecting them. They're all by themselves. So now go down to verse 11. And there went from there of the family of the Danites, out of Zorah and out of Eshtaol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. They're like, yes, the Levite said, God is with us. We're going to go and we're going to take this because it's a beautiful property. So they traveled there. And in verse 15, they turned and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even to the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up, and came in there and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. So they take the gods of Micah. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. All right, now there's a problem here. How do you steal somebody's god? Isn't that just a weird concept? All right? But that's essentially what they're doing. They're stealing Micah's gods from him. And the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" Verse 19, they said to him, "Hold your peace, lay your hand on your mouth. Go with us, be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be the priest unto the house of one man, or be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad. And he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. All right? Here's the fifth thing we see here. We see a prophet or a preacher preferring popularity. Hey, you can be the prophet for just one guy here and his family, or a whole tribe. So what does he do? He steals the graven image, the idols. He steals all those things with the 600 soldiers from Dan. Now, how much money did they steal? Well, they had melted down the silver. They stole $20,845. And the priest. We live in a society where we are told that we have to be politically correct. And we have to be accepted by the mainstream. Let me tell you something about true biblical preaching. It is not going to always be popular. All right, I don't talk a lot of politics. Let me talk politics for 2 seconds. All right? When you vote for those who have biblical and moral standing, not for your pocketbook. Right. So, verse 21, they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle in the carriage before them. When they are a good ways away from Micah's house, Micah runs out to them, and he says, "Why do you have such a big army coming at me? Why are you taking my stuff?" In verse 24, he said, "You have taken away my gods which I have made, and the priest, and you are gone away. And what have I more? What is this that you say to me? What ails you?" Here's the sixth thing we see in this passage. There's a problem with producing your own providential power. Because when you produce your own providential power, he will fail you. And most times when we get mad at God, we are mad at a wrong conclusion that we've drawn about God. We think that somehow God owes us something. We think that somehow God has got to make our life, you know, puppy dogs and rainbows and fairy tales. That is not God. And when we feel like God is letting us down, it's not that God has let us down. It's that we have formed an improper view of God. And there is a problem with producing your own providential power. Don't do it. Read this to know who God is. This is what will teach you about God. And your own thoughts on God, don't superimpose that on and hold God accountable for that, because God will not be held accountable for your whims and your wishes. So in verse 25, the children of Dan say to Micah, "Let not your voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run to you and you lose your life with the lives of your house." So basically, if you don't shut your mouth, we can't control all 600 of these guys. A couple of them are going to take you out. So verse 26, Dan went their way. Micah saw they were too strong for them. He turned, went back to his house. Micah goes home godless. They stole his God. And Micah is much better off now than he was when he had that God in his house. Here's my prayer for you. If you are holding on to a false God, my prayer for you is that God will strip that God from you. Micah is not happy that they took his God. He's crying. He's upset. But it's the best thing that's ever happened to him. Verse 27, they took the things which Micah made and the priest which he had and came to Laish, a people that were quiet and secure. They smote them with the edge of the sword and they burned the city with fire. There was no deliver because they were far from Zidon. They had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lies by Beth Rahab. And they built a new city and lived there. They called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit the name of the city Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up a graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set up Micah's graven image, which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Somehow this entire tribe bought this lie that these idols would somehow bring them favor. A little bit later in time, they'll replace those idols with a big golden calf in Dan. And that will be their new idol they keep there. And they'll just keep falling further and further and further from God. The seventh thing in your bulletin, the power of people's perception. Because the people in Dan thought that those images somehow brought them favor, that that was a true form of God, they were able to get an entire nation, well, tribe, I'm sorry, state, to follow that. They were able to convince people that had seen the miracles of God, the handiwork of God. Because you see, Dan, they were a part of a people that went out of Egypt with the 10 plagues that God put on Egypt. They were part of the people that walked across the Red Sea when God opened it up and they didn't walk in water, they walked on dry ground. They were part of the people who God fought the victory and tore down the walls that stood before the children of Israel, including Dan and their inheritance. And now they have completely forsaken God for this perception of God. Now, I know we all think that our view of God has got to be right. And you know what? Micah thought his view of God was right. The children of Dan thought their view of God was right. But this thing destroys Dan. Dan will be the most worthless of all the 12 tribes of Israel. Until next week. All right? Then we're going to see a new tribe that's going to take the cake for that one. But Dan became worthless because they wanted to chase a new imagination of God. Let me tell you who God is. God is the creator of all things. Without him, there is not anything made that was made. And in him is life, and that life is the light of men. Now, men love to live in darkness, and the darkness doesn't understand the light. But God sent us the light in the form of Jesus Christ, and he lights every man that comes into the world. And today, God is shining that light to you, and he says, here's who I am. I am Jesus. You cannot talk about God without talking about Jesus. They are one and the same. And Jesus took on flesh and lived among his people. And he came to his own. His own did not receive him. In fact, they didn't just not receive him. They crucified him. And when he was crucified, he deliberately allowed himself to be crucified so that he could take the punishment for every bad thing that you have ever done, every bad thing that I have ever done, every way that we have failed God in being disobedient and rebellious toward him. He died for that. And he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the grave. And when he rose again from the grave, he made it so that you and I could have eternal life with him in heaven. That is God. And he is coming back. He is coming back to take vengeance on wickedness and to claim his children as his own and spare them from his wrath. Folks, if you have any other view or vision of God, God is love and God is judge. He is both. God is kind, and God is wrath. one and the same. And if you have any other view or vision of God, then that view or vision of God isn't from here. And I want to encourage you this morning, just submit to what the scriptures say about God. Because anyone who's ever created their own perception of God has found that that God fails them. But you know what my God never does? My God never fails. And that's why for the rest of our lives, we can trust in what he says for us on our behalf before the Father, where he tells him, I make them right. And God today is looking to you. He wants you to have the proper view of himself. And he wants you to know today he loves you. He wants you to be his child. He wants you to walk right. He wants you to understand that living in him is the greatest joy in all the world. Don't be disappointed ever again by God. Trust in the one true living God. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you this morning that you teach us who you are. And now, Lord, as we close out this time, I pray that if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior, that they would just take a moment to quietly where they're sitting to just call upon the name of the Lord. Say, Lord, be my boss. Change me. I want to be what you want me to be. And Lord, this morning you will save. Lord, I thank you for the way that you've kept us as a people. We've been safe. We've been protected with the storms. I thank you for that. And Lord, we do pray for those that are down south that are cleaning up from severe amounts of havoc and devastation. And so, Lord, as we take a couple minutes here to take up an offering for them, I just pray that you'd bless that money, help it to be used very wisely, and that it would help those who are in need. And so, God, as we close out this service, we just thank you that you love us. We could never love you enough. And thank you for who you are, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we do our invitation this morning, I'm just going to invite you to stay sitting. We're going to actually pass the collection plates again right now to help with the people. Every dime that's collected during this time is going to go right down towards to help the people in Louisiana that are struggling with just making it day to day right now. And hopefully God can use your monies to help bless these people and help them make it through the upcoming days. And so we're going to pass the plate. And then once the plate's all the way around, I'll ask you to stand with me before we close. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when I ask everybody to stand, just come on down and shake my hand. I'd love to share with you how to trust Jesus or have someone else share with you how to trust Jesus.
Sing out with me. Thank you.
Todd and Debbie, they've been members here for a long time. And then they took a little break. And they're back, and they would like to be members at 12th Street again. So if I could have a first and a second, and all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Welcome back, Todd. Welcome back. All right, we're going to extend the right hand of fellowship to you guys as people leave this morning, all right? And don't forget, if you're getting a backpack, go to the Welcome Center, and that's where the backpacks will be handed out. And let's pray together as we dismiss. Lord God, you are so great. I could never do you justice in trying to explain you. But I thank you that you have given us some words that help. And that those words tell us all about who you are and what you have done for us. There is no description of God other than you who dies for his people. And so, Lord God, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for the life that you have given for us. Now, Lord, we want to give these lives back to you. To you, the only wise God, be power and glory forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And 10 minutes will